few announcements. First, the deacons want to thank all of you who contributed to any way to another successful fellowship, Pig Roast. We had a record-breaking attendance 2 years in a row and made a substantial profit. God bless. We could not have pulled this off without all of your help. Anyone needing reimbursed, please submit receipts as soon as possible. Kathy Seggy. There were containers from the pig roast and luncheon in the kitchen. Brought over several jackets and sweaters that have been hanging in the hall for months. They're in the coat room in the church. So I guess that's out in the hall. Some you may have left them here a long time ago and forgot about it. Next Sunday, the theme will be on worship. Dr. John will be here to... not the famous singer, but the famous preacher that comes to Glenshaw Valley, June White's little boy. Reverend Dr. John White, we're excited. I've talked to him on the phone and asked him to preach in our theme since we're having a five-week series. He's going to preach on worship, and so excited about having him coming. So I know that you want to be here especially for that and let others know and maybe invite some people to come out with you. Be sure to pass your red pad down and sign that. And I want to just give a personal thanks to everyone who came out for the invite a friend, or back to church Sunday. We had a good attendance, saw a lot of new faces. Maybe some of them will come back sometimes. I know some of them were members of other church, but it was nice to have the church full on that day. So it was really a nice celebration, and the food was just delicious. The pig, the roast was just outstanding, and I know everyone had a good time, and a lot of you won baskets, and a lot of good fellowship, and that's the kind of things that we need to be doing. So thank you, deacons, and everyone that helped and participated, set up, and came and invited. You made it a very special day. I want to thank the women of the church for the luncheon. Not that they had just this Thursday, but that they have eight times a year, the hard work that they put in. Those that shop and prepare and make phone calls and set up and tear down the tables, cook the food, serve the food. Every one of you could not be done without a community act and a community spirit doing it. So thank you very, very much. Some announcements in the bulletin. You can read over most of these, but just remind you, we're starting the 30-day church challenge, and this is the book that we're using. If you were here before, I'd ordered them, but they sent the 30-day church experience. I had to send them back and order them, so they're in today. I've got 10 up here. You can pick one up, and you can pay me $10. I ordered these on my credit card. Sunday school class or Bible fellowship in the morning is giving me a check to pay for theirs. So my class will be on Wednesday night, starting this Wednesday at 7. And so you can do a little extra reading to catch up. It's real short chapters, so you won't have any trouble. And so my house, if you don't know where it is, 212 Rosebriar Drive, Glenshaw. And you can call me and let me know you're coming, or sign up and pick up a book. And if you don't have money and you want to come, I'll give you a book, so don't worry about that. Don't let $10 stop you from coming. You can still dates open for the flowers. And the deacons are taking up used coats, gloves, and scarves for local families. And Bread of Life Food Pantry needs gelatins, puddings, baking items. And so you can be bringing those items in. And remind you, the crying room, whether a child or an adult needs it, right through here. And with a speaker, it should be plugged in. If it's not, you can plug it in. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our opening hymn of praise for today is 585, Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession, as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear God, we worship you as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We praise you as the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of all life. We believe you created us to be in a relationship with you and with one another. Forgive us when we disrupt the unity of your kingdom. Help us to seek a sense of community. Remind us to treat each other with dignity and respect. May we become a church you are proud of because of our love. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Let us once again on this Sunday unite in our faith in reciting our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God, the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of everlasting. Amen.
At this time, during greeting God's family, the junior church and the youth may slip over to the CE building for their worship and study. If you don't know someone's name, please, did I do something wrong? Everybody's kind of looking at me. Greet one another. I never know. Thank you. Very lovely. Our responsive reading is on Unity, back of your hymnal, 664, Unity. 664, Unity. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace.
There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism.
One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all.
If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion,
then make that joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and verse.
Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves.
Each of you shall
time I'll call Eleanor on the door to present the prayer requests.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning, Lynn Love is asking for prayers for her husband, Mike. Mike's struggling back there, let me tell you. He has an abscess tooth, and he has found out that he's going to have a root canal. So just the sounds of that kind of isn't very nice. So thanks for being with us. We miss you in the choir. Hope it goes well. And Shawnee has asked for prayers for Sean Donaldson. Sean has debilitating pain in his neck, and he will be seeking out treatment options. So we pray for him and his family that they are able to find a treatment option that will ease that pain for him. Also, I have not been able to confirm this, so it may not be good information, but there's a rumor floating around that it's Vi Rao's birthday today. So praise for that.
Update you a little bit. Jim Teggy, some of you saw this in the email, is now out of Passavant and home and doing much, much better, and we're thankful of that, and thank everyone for the prayers. Dan Kosherhook is doing much better, going through some intensive therapy, and she hopes to go home Wednesday. That's kind of the target date that they have for her. Diane Croyle is doing better, and she is still at Passavant. And let's see who else. And then Connie has gone home, and she is at her home doing rehab. And if you visit her, don't go to the front door. Go around to the back. She shut off the front door. In our prayers, I'll lead you in the Lord's Prayer, and we'll say debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we are gathered here today in your name. We come to worship you, to fellowship, to find a sense of community, to be in relationship with one another, and to be in relationship with you as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you for this great privilege and opportunity to grow, to seek to know you better, to draw closer to you, and to be hopefully the church that you have called us to be. And part of that is to be in unity, to be in fellowship with one another, to try to have that same like-mindedness and spirit, to listen to your Holy Spirit and read your word and find a direction, not only for our church, but for our personal lives and our families. We thank you for leading us and guiding us. Help us to open up our ears, our mind, our hearts, our total being, and listen to you for your guidance. We need you, Lord. We cannot live the life that we should live without you. And we cannot really live the life that we need to live without one another. We try to be lone wolves at times, but that's really not the way that we were created to be. We were created to be in relationship. From the very start, you put Adam and Eve together. They had children. Then they married and had children, and families started, and then spread out across the world. We thank you for that. So we lift each other up in prayer, hoping that the best will be for each person, that they will hear your voice, they will follow your direction, their lives will be improved even during difficult times and very challenging experiences that they find themselves in, experiences that they may not want, but have been thrust upon them as a part of life. And help us to help them as they help themselves. Lord, help us to be the true church and a true community. So many names have not been mentioned this morning, but there's so many prayers that need to go up to you and to be answered. So many for relationship problems, whether in a marriage or at work, our next door neighbor, or even within the church. Help those relationships. For spiritual growth, help us be determined to grow spiritually. There are financial problems. Lord, help people work those out. Whatever it is, Lord, let people know that first of all, they should go to you. And where we can as the community, let us reach out in love and help them. Lord, thank you for Jesus and this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and give us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Our next hymn is a screen song, Step by Step.
Thank you.
Let's bow for a word of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings that you've gifted the church with. We take this opportunity to give back to you, and not just this morning of our monies, but the time, the talents, the energies, the love, everything that we can do directed by your Holy Spirit out of love and compassion, helping people who don't have enough food to eat, giving to the food bank, helping at the luncheons to raise money that we can pay bills, someone cutting the grass and someone weeding the garden, someone making telephone calls, inviting people to church, checking on where someone when they haven't seen them in service, singing in the choir, serving on boards, attending church on a regular basis, praying for the services and for the ministries. So many things that people do and get little or no recognition. Lord, we thank you that you see and you recognize them and you bless them. Thank you, Lord, for being a blessing to us and these persons being a blessing to this community of faith. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our friend. Amen.
Good morning, church and community of Glenshaw Valley. Today's scripture is believed to have been written by David when the Jewish tribes came together and unanimously named him the king. Finally, after many years of infighting between the Jewish tribes, there was peace among them. To David, this was even more wonderful than being anointed king. This was the peace of God. So please listen to your own personal message as I read Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. I forgot to mention this in the prayers, and I don't remember the name. Some of you may know. A friend of Steve and Brittany Hurst had been sick for several months and died, leaving behind a wife and children, and died of West Nile virus. It's not something we hear much about, but let's be in prayer. I know his last name starts with a B, and I just cannot remember it. But God knows who it is, and just be in prayer. Well, I want to welcome you once again this morning in the first day of our 30-day church challenge. And I heard recently about a little boy who was playing out in the yard one day. A man came down the street looking very frustrated. He said to the boy, "Son, I'm lost. Can you tell me how to get to the post office?" The boy said, "Sure, you just go up to the stop sign, take a left, and the post office will be almost immediately over on your left." The man thanked him and said, "By the way, I'm the new pastor in town. If you'll come to my church on Sunday, I'll tell you how to get to heaven." The little boy looked at him and thought for a second and said, "No thanks. If you can't find the post office, I don't think you can tell me how to get to heaven." "Well, I know where the post office is at.
Take right out of the parking lot and stand on
your left." Over the next 30 days, I want to help us get to a place maybe you've never been before, and help our church reach our God-given potential. I don't know that any church has actually reached their full potential. Today we're starting an adventure called a 30-day church challenge. The dictionary defines a challenge as a call to take part in a contest or competition. For the next 30 days, you and I are entering a contest designed to deepen our relationship with God and each other and to discover what the church was really meant to be. We're going to do what the church once did in Acts chapter 2, to become the church God wants us to be and experience a spiritual life at a deeper and a more intimate level. The power of a challenge. In 1930, a man named Hahn invented a wilderness learning experience that he called Outward Bound. Think backpacking, whitewater, rafting, dog sledding, rock climbing, all these really neat outdoor hard things to do. And he believed that character development is as important as academic achievement. And he found that when people were put in challenging, adventurous situations, they gained confidence, they redefined their perceptions of their personal capabilities, demonstrated compassion for others, and developed a sense of camaraderie. In his leadership of Outward Bound, Hahn discovered that personal growth accelerates when there are challenging situations that one is put into. His wilderness challenges were so effective that over the past 80 years, thousands of people have given up their weekends and their lives and paid significant amounts of money to climb mountains and go on challenging trails and down rapid rivers and rappel off treacherous cliffs. Today, Outward Bound sponsors wilderness adventures in more than 30 countries, helping people grow in character towards the power of a challenge that stretches them in ways that they would not normally stretch themselves in everyday life. Outward Bound and similar experiences has taught us a thing about accelerated growth, and that is people grow better when they grow and do it together. Put a single man or a woman out in the wilderness, and some people do it, and unless there's somebody like Bear Grylls, he's probably going to flounder and die. But put a group of people out there, and the power of community bonds them together and enables them to do things that they would never be able to do or have attempted to do on their own, and the chances of survival go way, way up. By our very nature, we grow better when we decide to take challenges, not independently, but we decide to take challenges together. For as long as anyone can remember, military men and women have issued what they call challenge coins. We don't know when the tradition started, but one of the legends is that during World War I, a young lieutenant gave solid bronze coins out to the people in his squadron as mementos for their service together. One of the pilots put in his leather pouch and tied it around his neck, and when he was shot down behind German lines and he was when they were confiscated all his personal belongings, they left the pouch around his neck. And that night he escaped and crept across no man's lands and he came in contact with the French resistance. The French believed that he was a German spy and threatened to execute him unless he could prove that he was an American. So he pulled out his coin, which saved his life, because it had the insignia of the U.S. Army on that coin. After that, his squadron determined that every member of their crew would carry a coin with them at all times. Every Sunday during this series, I'm going to issue a new challenge related to one of the five purposes of the church. And your assignment, should you choose to accept it, is to step up to the challenge. Monday through Saturday, we'll read a short devotional from the 30-day challenge book. The book said $10.
Bill started his class this morning. Mine starts Wednesday. And you can read and you can catch up. We'll be a little behind because the books came in late. But it's so short, you can do it easily. And every daily entry will give us a small, simple step to take that day, which by the end of the week will help us achieve that weekly challenge. And you'll discover how our church can help you reach your God-given potential, strengthen your own relationship with God, and how we can become a church that can transform not just ourselves, but we can help transform the community that is around us. And our objective is that at the end of the 5-week, 30-day church challenge, we won't just be the church or be coming to church. We will become the church that God has called us to be. A community of faith, powerful, inspirational, and transformational. Touching our community with the power and the love of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every one of our challenges will be related to one of the five purposes of the church from Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. And the five purposes are cultivate authentic community, experience worship as part of your not just Sunday morning, but your daily lifestyle. Take successive steps for spiritual growth. Practice personal stewardship. And reach out to the world or the community that is around us. So these are the challenges we'll be seeking to master and talk about over the next 5 weeks. And the first is today, authentic community. Acts chapter 2 church excelled at that. They had devoted themselves to the church and to each other. You know, some people go to large churches, they just come to church, then they leave. They don't really develop relationships with other people. And I don't like that. I like the small church where we really can devote ourselves to one another, get to know one another, and we can become a family, and then we can even break it down more into small units, and we can know this unit in an intimate way, and then know everyone, maybe not quite as intimate, but still in a relationship way. Last week we learned that one of the things that made the first church, which was born in Midtown Jerusalem, so special was that the people in the church made time for relationships. Acts 2 says they devoted themselves to the fellowship. They held everything in common. They broke bread together in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They cultivated authentic community. One of the things you'll discover when you get involved in a really good church is that church isn't a building you go to. It's a family you belong to. And for every person, the center of a family is usually a small group that meets together regularly so that people can study spiritual truths together. And in the process, come to a place where they can know and be known by the other people. Love and be loved. Serve and be served. Celebrate and be celebrated for who they are. So how do we experience that? How do we experience authentic community the way God means for it to be and the way the early church was doing it? You make time for it. You commit to an intentional group of people on a weekly basis. You sign up for a group and you make it a priority to show up for that. In day one of the 30-day church challenge in the book, you read about the relationship between David and Jonathan. David was the son apparent to the throne of Israel, or Jonathan was, and David was the commanding general of Saul's army. These were two busy guys, but they knew the power of relationship. So even in the midst of all their responsibilities, they made time to spend with one another. They made time for it, and both of them were better men for it. Because relationships don't just happen. You and I need to deliberately make time. We can't have deeper relationships with everyone, but we can cultivate authentic relationships with a few people. Now, first week's challenge in this 30-day challenge is to commit to joining a small group class or ministry so we can experience the power of authentic community. So I'm asking you, can you commit to a small group and meet once a week for the next 5 weeks? If one of our small groups don't fit you, once you made that commitment, the second step to an authentic community is you contribute to it. You show up for the small group, but a good group bonds together, gels together when the members of the group make a conscious effort to contribute to the group. You know, it might be you bring a dessert to the group or some drinks. Or you go to the meeting and the second meeting someone didn't show up, you take a responsibility and say, I'll call them, see if something's wrong, are they sick, are they work, are they here? And during the group meetings, everyone pays attention. Everyone tries to add a comment if they're not so shy that they can't talk, so that really good discussions happen. And the bottom line is that you learn to live together, speak the truth and love to one another, and make each other's lives better as a result of it. And third step is you take a genuine interest in the lives of each other. This is usually fairly easy for women, but it's not as easy for men. It's just the way that we're wired. So men, at least during this 5 weeks, if you're in Bill's group on Sunday morning or my group starting this Wednesday, if you come, I'm asking you to try to take a genuine interest in what is going on with the people's lives in your group. Then in your prayer time, every day, I hope that you'll pray for the members of your group. So what does authentic community feel like? And what is this effect? And what is this impact? Psalm 131 is almost exactly in the middle of the Bible. And it's one of the shortest chapters in the Bible. And Psalm 133 was written by King David, who experienced the power of authentic community in the company of close friends who were called David's mighty men. That phrase in verse 1, when brothers live together in unity. I love that. When brothers live together in unity. It's what we call community. In other words, unity and community are interchangeable words. I believe David is speaking much more about living together in a tight communal relationship than simply keeping peace and not arguing or having discord. That's why I say Psalm 133 is a song written about the power of authentic community. The opening verse is very explanatory. It's good and pleasant to be in a community with a few people. But the next line, what's all the talk about oil and Aaron's beard? And then the final verse, what's he saying about dew falling on a guy named Hermon? In David's day, there were two great offices in the nation of Israel. One was the office of the king. David held that office after Saul's death and became the second king of Israel. And the other was the office of the high priest of the nation. That position was hereditary, being passed from father to son in the lineage of the first high priest, who was Aaron, the brother of Moses. The office of the high priest was for life. Once you were in, you were in. So most people only got to see the anointing of the high priest once in their lifetime. And when it happened, it was a tremendous ceremony because the person being anointed was the person who was going to represent them before God on a daily basis. It's not like us that we can go to God on our own. They went to God through the high priest. And the high priest would also make it possible for their sins to be forgiven once a year on the Day of Atonement. When a high priest was to be anointed, the whole nation would gather together in Jerusalem. And after some prayers, a special mixture of oil and spices, a mixture used only for the anointing of the high priest and nothing else in all of Israel, was poured lavishly over the head of the new high priest. So much oil was poured over his head that oil ran down both sides of his head, down into his beard and onto his priestly robes. Unless they were lucky enough to outlive the high priest, the fragrance given off by this anointing oil would only be smelled once in a person's lifetime. When David, who experienced the power of authentic community in the company of close friends, searched for a way to describe how good and pleasant it is, he pictured a once-in-a-lifetime nationwide event and said, "It's like that." Authentic community with a few close friends gives off the same level of joy as the celebration of anointing a high priest. Just so nobody misses exactly how important true community is to David, he gives a second analogy in verse 3. Here he says, it's like the dew of Hermon falling onto Mount Zion. The land of Israel had a very dry climate, still does. And it's only a very short rainy season. And after that, all plants and animals have to survive on the moisture that comes from one natural source, and that's Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon sits on the northern end of Israel and is the highest mountain in Israel. The summit reaches high enough that when the wind blows eastward off the Mediterranean, it catches the moisture of the sea. This moisture then flows down Mount Hermon and waters all the surrounding area, even to Jerusalem, which sits on Mount Zion. Without the dew of Hermon, most plant life in Israel would die. David is saying, you know the effect Mount Hermon has on everything around it. That's the effect authentic community has, not only on those experiencing it, but even on those in relationship distance of you and the community of faith that you are in, for us, the church, which is true. If you've ever been around someone who is truly happy, it's contagious. They're laughing, it's almost hard not to laugh. That disposition begins to rub off on you. People in great communal relationships tend to be happier. They tend to be more content than those doing life all on their own. So there is a contagious and cascading effect to this community. If you're happy, then other people around you begin to get happy. And if we're happy as a church, people see that and feel it when they come in, and then they want to be part of a place that is happy. People don't want to be a part of a church that is fighting, or the people are sour, or they're putting out negative comments. They come in, they hear that, they're out the door, and they will look for some other body of Christ. So if real community is so precious, why aren't we all experiencing it? Because many of us are too busy looking for the good life somewhere else. We're involved in our kids' little league, which is a good thing. And we're involved in our careers, which is a good thing. And we're involved in our family chores, which is good, we have to be. In exercise, which is another good thing. Paying our bills, something we have to do. Watching TV and taking vacations, things that are part of life. All these things are necessary in our life. And so many other things at our fingertips that it's easy to miss the most important thing of all. Because sometimes I think we feel like, well, I can put this off. But let me ask you a few questions. Do you want the joy and unity that community brings? Do you want the spirit of celebration that doing life together in church brings? Do you want to bring life and refreshment to your family, to your friends, and even your acquaintances? And are you willing to invest some time in order to do that? So as I said earlier, the first weekly challenge, should you choose to accept it, is to join, attend, and contribute to a small group. In my opinion, you get the most out of this 30-day challenge by doing three things. Attend the weekend service so you're up to the subject on the week. Read the daily material in the 30-day challenge book. And last but not least, be part of a small group. You can do life together with others and learn the truth together. If that is just not possible for you for whatever reason, then be creative. Gather with your family. You can listen to the sermon on the website. Just go to the website, click on media. That sermon for the week will be there, and you can listen to it. Gather with your family. Listen to the sermon. Talk about it. Read the scriptures for that sermon. Pray with your family. If you can, purchase one of the books and read through that. After all, community should start at home. If you're a veteran of small groups and never led one before, during these 5 weeks, I want you to get together with your small group leader, Bill, or myself, and have them teach you or show you what you can do to become a small group leader yourself. Your challenge is to say to your small group leader, apprentice me. Leonard, apprentice me. Show me how I can start a small group. Bill, show me how I can start a small group. It doesn't have to be in the church. It can be that you get two or three ladies together and you go to a restaurant, Starbucks, wherever, have a cup of coffee, choose a book that you want, read through it, and just discuss it together. You do not have to be a teacher. Some people get so threatened. It can just be a discussion group. You've been in book clubs before, some of you. You can just sit and talk about it. There's not always a right and a wrong. A little prayer, a little discussion, a little coffee, coffee cake. Have a good time. Celebrate. Or you can do it at your home. You can do whatever you want to. And if you've never been in a group, this is a good time to start. So your challenge is to show up, contribute by doing your reading, and take a genuine interest in others' lives. So my prayer is that we may truly become the church that God has called us to be by cultivating authentic, loving, long-lasting relationships. May God bless you. Amen. Closing hymn 284, They'll Know We're Christians by Our Love. Just want to remind you, if you're going to the Bible Fellowship on Sunday morning at 9:30, you can see Bill or Mabe and get your book. Sunday school class paid for those. If you want to be in my class on Wednesday evening, you can pick a book up here. Or if you want to do a self-study and do it at home, you can pick a book up from here. And I hope that you will. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary today, I hope that you felt a sense of community and unity and love, and I hope that you want to be in relationship with others, and I hope that you feel in relationship with God, because God desperately wants to be in relationship with you. Go out into the world and tell others that Jesus loves them and wants them to be in relationship with Him. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.